here with Notre Dame women's basketball player, Maddie Westfeld. Thank you for joining the show. Maddie, first question to you. I always wonder about athletes when they show up in college. When is it that you fell in love with basketball?
Well, I mean, for me, I was always like watching my sister, and just growing up, basketball was like that's what we do. And I never like really became in love with it. I would say until like eighth grade year. I played it since second grade, and it was always like this was really fun because I can go and see my friends during practice. And so I never like actually became in love with it till like eighth grade. And that's when I started like, every day I would go after school to the rec center and I would play against the boys. And like, that was my decision to do that. And so it really wasn't until I like kind of started to explore it that I really fell in love with it.
Were you always taller?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. So it was natural. A question then is, how did you develop your outside game? Because as a taller player, I think everyone's going to naturally just want to put you inside and do post moves like that. And so how did you develop? You have a very developed, long game. You're a good three-point shooter. You're around 35% for your career. Your elbow jumper is a very potent weapon for this specific team. But you're also, you'll put the ball on the floor. You'll playmake. One-handed passes, you're a good passer. And so you have a very well-developed game. You know, I assume growing up, you're inside a lot. How did you develop that part of your game there?
Yeah, well, my dad initially signed me up for basketball, and that was like his way of developing both me and my sister specifically was he's going to teach us the fundamentals, and then he'll let us be coached by somebody else. But that was always his thing, was you're going to learn everything from day one, and then you kind of mold yourself into the player that you want to be, but you're going to have the skills to do everything, to bring it coast to coast, to pass the ball to anyone, to be a point guard, even if you don't play the point guard. So I've always, like, literally from day one, I've always brought the ball up the court, like, did everything that guards could do because I was just taught that. So.
Okay. You've referenced her a couple of times, Katherine Westfeld, your sister, 2018 national champion on the Notre Dame basketball team. So shout out to her. Dara, you really told us the story about how your first meeting with Sonia when she was on. Tell us meeting Maddie for the first time. What was that like? What was your impression? Let's hear the story there.
So I would probably say I'm confident in saying me and Maddie met at some time way before I met Sonia because of Katherine and my older sisters. So I think I would say me and Maddie were like in the stands, and then like once our sisters were like, go like be friends and like talk to each other, like we became besties like immediately, like I did go to Virginia Tech first, but Maddie always would like bug my sister, like get her to come here, like is she gonna come to Notre Dame, like are we gonna get the chance to play together. We have pictures of us at Notre Dame football games outside of like the our sister's apartments, like at gatherings with them, with our parents, like so many fun Notre Dame memories. And then the one I'll never forget is when Neil got the job. I think Maddie, was it like you were with Coach McGraw and then you just had to like solidify the decision again, I guess, but like everyone knew it was like a no brainer. And then I verbaled to Notre Dame and Maddie called me and was like, oh my God, like this is everything that we would always talk about when we were younger, like we're finally going to get the chance to play together. And it was just such a cool thing. Like there's pictures of Katherine and my sisters and then Maddie and I like sprinkled throughout Rolfs, and it's just like such a unique and cool story how we were able to live out the same legacy but in a different era.
Maddie, what was your kind of impression of Dara then? In terms of just like her the person, and then getting to play with her. I wonder, like, so you just, she, Dara referenced like, this is all we dreamed about. Like, what was it like actually to play with her?
Dude, I remember in high school, I remember going to AU tournaments and Dara would be playing for her, you know, New Jersey team, and she was a dog. And I was like, I want to play with her. Like, I was so mad that you went to Virginia Tech because, like, why? Like, we were supposed to do this together from day one, which we ended up doing, which was just so cool. Like, my first memories with Dara was being in the gym with Jaden, watching our sisters play. And during their games, we would leave from the stands to go to the backcourts to go shoot with Jaden and just, like, just be around basketball. We were just always around basketball. And so I think just it was a perfect story when we both committed and it was just like, this is our time now. And we started in Coach Ivy's first year. It was our first year with the program. It was like we built this culture and this standard back up to where it is now. And it was just a unique story, like she said, because we were able to do it from a whole new story. Obviously, we built our legacy, but it began with our sisters. So it was just, I don't know, it's so cool to think about.
Yeah, such a cool story.
Maddie, you're from Kettering, Ohio. It sounds to me like, just from listening, it was always going to be Notre Dame. Is that a fair statement to make?
Honestly, no. I thought it was. Okay. And I started to get recruited, and I, you know, I wanted to keep my options open. And honestly, I knew it was always going to come down between Notre Dame and another school, but I wanted to give other schools a chance to, you know, create my own legacy. And then at the end of the day, I loved this place. My heart was in this place, and I knew that I could create my own legacy here. So,
was it ever like close? Was it ever like, you know, was there a time when it's like maybe I am going to go somewhere else?
For sure. I mean, obviously you're in high school and you're visiting all these places. Like, everything is so exciting and they make everything just like glittering gold and no pun intended, but like other places. Yeah. I almost went to UCLA. I almost went to Tennessee, honestly, Louisville, Ohio State. I visited 5 places for my official. So Notre Dame, Coach McGraw wanted to make sure that Notre Dame was my last. And, you know, my sister surprised me on that visit. Like, it was a really special, special thing. And I, like, just – I'll always remember that.
Well, it sounds like they didn't take it for granted. So that's good. Good job. Good job by the staff on that one. Was it always basketball? Did you play other sports growing up?
No, it was only basketball. I tried to play volleyball in high school. My sister played, and then I tried out, and I made the JV team, and then I quit because I was like, I'm just not doing that. I'm not good at being bad at things.
Did your sister play anything else?
Yeah, she played volleyball. She was really good. She could have gone to college for it, but, you know, basketball is in her heart. So.
Okay. So we talked about it before. You have a love of basketball. You may have a greater love of coffee. It comes like as a big, it's a big part of your Instagram page, which is great. And it's interesting because I'm a coffee drinker myself. I know Dara is as well. But where did that come from? When did that start?
Well, my whole family is Italian, and I don't know if that has something to do with it, but like, the culture of getting up in the morning and drinking coffee with just the girls was everything. And even growing up, like, I didn't drink coffee till college, but like, it was just that idea of you get up with it's a routine. Like, you get up and you enjoy your time, and it's like a special moment of joy. And so honestly, I think that's where it started. And then I became like a big routine person in the morning and meditation and all that. And coffee was just like surrounding that, and then just exploring different things around coffee. I literally love it.
what's your favorite brew?
Well, I have a Chemex, so I'll like drip it in the morning. I've been into, this kind of sounds weird, but it's like a mushroom infused, and it's supposed to help you focus. And I get it at Fresh Thyme, but it's so good. And it doesn't taste nasty. Like, it's cool, but it doesn't like doesn't make me crash as much as regular coffee does. So
is this black coffee? Yeah. Do you make cappuccino? Do you make, what is it?
So the Chemex is a drip coffee. So that's like a regular, it's like a dark roast. So it's just regular coffee. And then I also have an espresso maker. And honestly, like not even exaggerating, I figured it out this morning. Like I've been using it for like a year, but the, like how you steam the milk is so important. And I think I mastered it this morning. I'm so excited.
Big day. We got you on a big day today. Dara, you're drinking a Maddie brew, if I will. How is it? How does it taste?
It's phenomenal. We I actually saw her make the coffee. She poured me a total of 4 espresso shots. And they're great. It's like light. I would go more with like a woody, earthy rather than like citrusy, which I'm a really big fan of. And then I just poured it over ice with some vanilla creamer and it was really good. But I need to throw in there how when I was hurt and in a leg brace for like 8 years, me and Maddie would do coffee on Friday mornings and she would come over to the house I was staying at. And we would put the fireplace on and drink a cup of coffee like we were like 75 years old. And it was maybe the greatest thing ever. It was the greatest thing ever.
So the ritual piece, right? I mean, it seems like that's kind of what Maddie gets to. Like, and I was reading an article that John Bryce did for Notre Dame talking about that, about how on the road you'll go, like you'll make sure you'll wake up as early as you need to. You'll basically, like, however your schedule is set, you will work around. Like, you have to have your coffee. It's like a big part of your kind of your routine, being on the road. Obviously, when you're at home or when you're you know, playing locally, and so that's interesting. And part of that too is the meditation piece. Is that something that you do every day as well? And when did that start up?
Absolutely, and I think that's the like part about the love for coffee is the love for that routine. And so for the away trips, I like to like find a time to stay grounded, because you know you're with your team the whole time and it's hard to just find a time to quiet your mind and kind of silence everything around you. So it's the coffee part, but it's really the grounding myself. And so honestly, it started like my sophomore junior summer. I started talking to DG, which is somebody on the team, somebody who works with the team and somebody who's really close with the Mabry family. And Dara hooked me up with him. And I really just wanted to, I was at a point where like, I don't know, it was hard. Like basketball became hard and I knew how, like the potential that I had, but I was in my own way. If that makes sense. Like my mind was stopping me from getting there. And I wanted to break through. And so I let Darren know, and I knew that she had been talking to him and I was really interested. And so I started talking to him and he helped me tremendously with just tools and different kind of ways that you can go about that and how to navigate like freeing up your mind and freeing up space to create rather than kind of that self-sabotage and like, I don't know, just free up your mind. And so I became really in tune with meditation and started to explore that. And it's just became such a grounding thing for me where I just wake up in the morning and I kind of just allow anything that's on my heart, on my mind to come to the surface and then just kind of make peace with it. So I try to start my day off with that every day. And it's really paid off for me.
Do you dabble in that, Dara?
Yes, I was going to ask you because obviously, like Maddie just said, we worked with the same person. I know a lot about this. Your meditation. So when you wake up, your meditation, when's the difference? I guess the time of day. So when you wake up, your meditation is more of like, I'm here, I'm present, I'm right where my feet are at. Is there a different time of the day where, because obviously manifestation comes from meditation. Is there like a different time of the day where you might like manifest what you're going to do in the game or a feeling at the end when the buzzer goes off, a certain score? Is there, when do those thoughts of basketball come into play Like, because you talked about you have to separate, you have to have a time to quiet your mind. Is there a different time? Or maybe like, I remember in the locker room, I would see you with your head down a lot. Like, when do you take time for those thoughts?
Yeah. On it. Well, in the morning, I've really like prayed and meditated on the concept of emotional detachment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something really important for me, because growing up, I realized that I attached myself to the game in such a way where like it was my everything. And yeah. So when I wasn't playing good, I would place my value on me not playing good.
Yeah.
And so I would have to go back to the gym and, you know, like make myself feel better by my making however many shots, or like my, you know, my confidence would be like this with the way that I played.
Yeah.
And so in the morning, I try to detach myself from the game. I try to not focus. So like, even if we are playing a big game, I'll just think about just regular things, not the game at all. And then once we get closer to game time, honestly, I get focused kind of more toward the game. And then the national anthem is like my place to shine. Like I will, it's really the time when I actually was just talking about this morning, like I'll visualize all the things that are weighing on me, like whether it's people, whether it's somebody in the stands that I know who's there, whether it's somebody on the other team, the other coach, you know, anything that has weight on my heart, and I'll visualize it in my hand and then place it aside, because it literally has no effect on how I play and how the game is going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm making shots or not. So I don't know. There's a lot of different things that I have been experimenting with, but for right now, that's what's worked for me.
So cool.
Did you go through similar things, Dara?
Yeah. My fifth year before I got hurt, I was in a bad shooting slump. And I had, you know, I had really big dreams that year, obviously.
Right.
Like personally and as a team. And I was attached to a shooting percentage in an unhealthy way. I thought that even if I missed and went back to the gym at 11 PM, like I was okay. That like at some point it had to correct itself, but it doesn't correct itself if you're emotionally attached to it in an unhealthy way. Obviously you have an emotional attachment to something that you absolutely love, but it has to be healthy. And my attachment like to the shooting percentage became unhealthy. And I'm not saying that's part of the reason why I got hurt, but the spiritual meaning behind having a blood clot is lack of joy. And I definitely did have some sort of lack of joy in my shooting percentage and in my performance. Although I was having a ton of fun. Like, I love that shit. You can't take that away from me. I love my teammates. I love Notre Dame. But there was part of me that I thought about it every day. Like, it's your last year. You're supposed to be shooting your best percentage. I was not shooting my best percentage. I was shooting my worst. And yeah, the way the story unfolds. And then now, like, I could brick an air ball and I will walk off the court with the same big ass smile that I did in the beginning of the practice. So that's just like a different topic of like what injury and stuff does for me. But if you really like understand the emotional and spiritual meaning behind things, like you will be like so much more at ease with yourself just on like your day-to-day life. And like, I mean, I would not understand any of that without Derek, the person that Maddie was telling us about. Yeah. Before.
Yeah. Like this whole conversation like really hits home for me, because as an athlete, I was very results oriented in terms of this, like you guys said, like just how you feel about yourself. You know, if I do something and I win, or I do well at it, I feel amazing. And if I don't, I'm just like, I feel terrible. Right. And I think, Maddie, just listening to you, there's a lot of like kind of negative, like self-talk, like negative self-talk that goes along with that. And it's kind of like getting in your own way. Like that is something that I dealt with. And I see that a lot with my oldest daughter too. And Dara, no, I talk about her all the time on this show, because especially, and with Sony as well, because like I wonder how you ladies go through kind of and that's why I always bring up like growing up and how you grew up and how you kind of became like an elite athlete, right? Because I want to make sure, because she has that kind of, she gets in her own way, you know. And I always try to tell her, like, these games, like, they come and go. You're going to play thousands, right? You're going to play so many. So it's just play as hard as you can, and whatever happens, you just on to the next one, you know? It's like, because if we win, we're going to learn from it and we're going to move on. If we lose, we're going to learn from it. We're going to move on. We're moving on regardless. So don't worry about it. So I always try to talk to her about that. So that's like really interesting conversation. And the meditation's interesting. I've never got into that. And it's one of those things, like, enough people do it to where it's like, that's probably a mistake. Should probably look into it no matter what. So that's really interesting. This is to totally switch gears here. 5 game winning streak for your team. You'd had 2 huge games, right? Maddie, you yourself have played a huge role in those games. And I think when I look at you, you know, it's your senior year. There's a ton. I know how it is as a senior, and I think Dara does as well. Like, you just feel like a ton of responsibility for the team. And it's kind of, you feel like you're responsible for how everything goes. What's kind of clicked here in the last 5 games? I mean, obviously beating the teams you have, right? You beat Vatek, and then you beat, who was this latest game against? My mind is
Louisville.
Right. You beat those 2 teams, 2 ranked teams. The Vatek win was the second best win of the year by, you know, kind of advanced metrics behind the UConn win, of which, Maddie, you also played a starring role in that one. But what has clicked? What has clicked for the ladies in the last 5 games here?
Well, I think adversity is really important for any team to become great. And so, like, that breaking and molding back together is really, really important. And I think especially for us. And the NC State game, for me, it felt like rock bottom, because I feel like I let my team down as a leader by not holding every single person responsible and accountable, including myself, myself first. And so after that, I literally just had a whole reflection of, like, what does this team need right now? And, you know, Coach Ivy and the whole coaching staff, everybody was just really distraught afterward. Like, we should not be losing like this. Like, we are not the team to do that. We have way too much talent. It's just, it's a waste. It's a waste to go out and perform in a way that you know you left on the court. And it wasn't like we didn't play hard. It was just hard, you know? And so I think just reflecting and going back to the basics. And that's really what we did. We had a long conversation just with each other. Like, what do we need to go back to? And it's almost always in any team, it's the little things. It's the little things off the court and the habits that you create going onto the court and the chemistry that you build on the court. And it starts in practice. And so we just had to go kind of back to square one and figure out what do we need to fix and how do we gel together. And so we broke a little bit after that game, and then slowly we started to build each other back up. And after that, we played Duke. And that game, KK came up huge, and we need those people. Like, obviously, everybody's been saying, like, me, Son, and Hannah, but, like, we need more than 3 people, you know? Like, we need every person on the bench, every person on the court to give something. And so it was like feeding into each other. We needed to find that confidence in each other, and starting from Neil, starting from the coaching staff. But, you know, it was just, I think we're starting to gel and starting to trend in a really good direction right now. And I feel like other people are starting to notice that.
What have you seen there, Dara, on that front?
Absolutely. Obviously, I'm around the team a lot, and I don't know, the feeling that Maddie's talking about after NC State was not just like a, damn, you know, we didn't play good. It was like a deeper feeling than that, because it just, I guess, hit home. When you lose like that on your home court, something just doesn't sit right with you about it. And then they had a great road test right after that. Not coincidentally, a time to come together, to rally together. KK was huge. But there's a different feeling, obviously, from being around the team. I think I could speak very highly of Maddie and what she's done, and credit a lot of why of the team's performance as of the last 2 weeks to her. She's had a different demeanor. Obviously, she's the one always in the gym. She's going to talk. She's the leader. But there was something different this time around, and you could feel it. You could feel the way that the team came together, one through, I don't know, the number on the roster at this point, one through whatever we'll call it. But just top to bottom, everyone's been locked in. Everyone's been playing for more. And maybe the fact that it's March is kicking in a little bit. But I think after the Duke win, they realize, okay, like this is what happens when we all focus and we all play collectively one through five. And that's a really, really good feeling. I think that they got a little taste of it against UConn, but it's early in the year and people are still trying to figure things out. But now is like the perfect time to click. And they've been great. And it's a great time to start gelling together, especially going into postseason, going into the ACC tournament. I'm really proud of you guys.
Thanks, Sterling.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I think your team found a gear that you have that you can just hit teams with. And I think that we saw it in the third quarter against Louisville there. I mean, that might have been your best quarter of the year. I mean, your team was vibing, right? Like everyone was hitting shots. You hit a couple elbow jumpers, Maddie. There was one you hit it. I think he put you up 12 or 14.
Okay, can we go over that?
Sure, go ahead.
Before we get off this podcast, Maddie, can you please talk us through the clear out step back three that you made over Olivia Cochran? Because that's when I was like, oh, that girl is hooping.
No, I literally, like, as soon as I saw it was an ISO, I like embodied Sonia from last year at Louisville. You remember that when she hit the same exact shot in the same place? I was like, I'm literally just trying to be Sonia Citron like that.
Oh my gosh, that was so great. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I've told Tara a number of times on this show. I think you're the most important player on this team. In terms of just the way that, because you could do so many things, right? And you almost like you're not a small, but you can play like one. And so you're kind of like that stretch four that's been such a big deal in basketball the last few years. I think an underrated part or maybe overlooked part of your game is like you're a very good outlet passer, right? So you get the ball underneath, you get a rebound or you get a steal underneath, and you're looking into Hannah or Anna, and you just like the team's off to the races. And I think that generates so many easy points, easy opportunities. And look, that's the key to basketball, right? The more easy baskets you can get, the more transition opportunities you can get. It leads to good outcomes, right? And so I think we saw that against Louisville, especially in the third quarter. So good. Like, right. I think, you know, it was hard. Like in the beginning of the year, it's like, oh, they're gelling. They're coming together. And then there'd be like a poor performance. And then it's like, oh, you bounce back again, right? You had that a couple of times, right? The UConn win came after a disappointing loss, right? And so, but I think the difference here is that, you know, you had the disappointment against NC State, you came back on the road against Duke, played really well, but then that continued to build. And I think it showed itself in the last two games. Darren and I said, like, this homestand is going to be kind of what defines the regular season, right? And not only did you pass, your team passed with flying colors. So good job by you on that. Maddie, you got to get to class. So we're going to let you go. Thank you for joining the show. This was very fun. I had a great time talking with you, Dara, as well. So you've got the ACC tournament that's coming up on Friday. We'll see who you guys play. You've got the double bye. So that's a good job with the short bench, short squad. You want to get that rest. You don't want to be playing too many games on the legs. So Dara and I, we're going to be going live. Dara, very excited for that. We're going to do a live show after the game, right after the game ends. We're going to be talking it over. It's March Madness time. So, you know, this is when we're kicking in gear. So thank you everyone for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please like this video. Please subscribe to our channel. Hit the notification bell so you know we are going live. Maddie Westfeld, thank you very much. Good luck on Friday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.